This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 10 years ago today, the world watched one of the most iconic moments of the Iraq War, the toppling of a statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad's Firdaus Square. Since that day, millions of Iraqis have fled their homes in search of safety abroad, more than 2.2 million in all, mostly to neighboring countries such as Syria and Jordan.
Resettling in the United States was a far more difficult route, but many Iraqis have taken that route. Since the war began, more than 60,000 Iraqi refugees have been admitted to the United States, and close to 2,700 of them are now living in Massachusetts.
WBUR reporter Usma Khalid has been talking to some of Boston's newest immigrants and found that their lives here have been spared the violence of war, but that doesn't make it easy. She joins us now to tell us more. Usma, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So 2,700 refugees in Massachusetts sounds like quite a bit, but many millions fled Iraq, and not that many of them made it to the United States. So tell us about the refugees that you met here in Massachusetts. Who are they?
You know, that's right. Not a lot did make it to the United States, and I just wanted to touch on that real quick. Part of that is because it was incredibly difficult to come to the U.S. before 2007. You all may remember we, as the United States, kind of got a bit of heat for not accepting as many Iraqi refugees as we ought to have.
Even many of those who assisted the U.S. during the war.
That's right. That's right. So after 2007, we saw this sort of surge of Iraqi refugees coming to the United States. And here in Massachusetts, there's sort of two groups. One are incredibly wealthy, highly educated folks. We're talking lawyers, engineers, folks with PhDs. And the other group are folks who cannot go back to Iraq, like this man I met in Lynn.
My name is Mohammed Hadi. I moved from Iraq. I used to work with the U.S. Army in Iraq, so they applied for a visa for me, so I got here. Iraq is like hard situation there, and actually for people work against the country, so they don't like them there.
Mohammed Hadi, he worked for the U.S. Army in Iraq for 7 years. And, you know, as you heard him say, folks don't like him there. He's seen as a collaborator. And he said essentially he had to leave because he could not find work in Iraq.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that many cannot go back, such as Mohammed, even though they may like to. Is Mohammed one of them? Does he wish he could go back to Iraq?
Yes. I think about every refugee I spoke to said it and used those exact words. I wish I could go back. One woman said she's asked her kids to bury her in Iraq, but I don't think any of them can, they said.
Hmm. Well, there are various aid groups that are trying to help these refugees because, as you mentioned, many of them are highly educated. That doesn't mean they get to practice as engineers or doctors here in the United States, in Massachusetts. So how are these groups helping, and are the Iraqis' needs being met?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are a number of aid groups here. And I think that essentially what I heard is that they are doing the best that they can with the limited federal funds that they have. The two needs that the refugees have are jobs and money. Those two are inextricably linked. And, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, a lot of the refugees started coming in 2008. And that was the beginning of our recession here in the United States. So it's been incredibly difficult to find those jobs. I mean, I think one thing that I should clarify, there's a bit of a misunderstanding about what refugees receive in the United States. They receive essentially first month's rent. After that, they are told to sink or swim. You know, resettlement agencies do offer them help in the form of donations that they receive, but there's no federal really cash assistance for rent. They'll receive welfare, they'll receive food stamps, and then a minimal amount of money from the federal government. It's about $428 a month. I spoke with Carolyn Benedict Drew. She runs the International Institute of New England. And she says that, you know, that even with that minimal amount of financial help, refugees are facing some really tough problems here in Boston.
And it is simply not enough. It's never been enough. And it probably will never be enough. So that is really a tremendous dilemma. And you almost feel like you're setting people up for poverty. It is poverty. It's a poverty level.
You know, Carolyn mentioned something that was really interesting. She said that she sort of feels like she's in this moral conundrum because she's running this organization where she's bringing refugees to the United States and essentially setting them up for poverty.
Hmm. Usma, I mean, the economic challenges are great in and of themselves, but I wonder, for the Iraqis that you spoke to, what are other challenges that they're facing on a day-to-day basis? Massachusetts is far, far away from Iraq.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I didn't see so many of the cultural sort of difficulties of assimilation. And maybe that's partly because a lot of the refugees have settled in these sort of little mini Iraqi neighborhoods, Lynn, Lowell, mm-hmm. Chelsea. So they're around people who are familiar to them.
Well, so in the last minute or so that we have, I've got to return to a point that we made at the beginning of our conversation, and that it has been 10 years to the day since that statue of Saddam Hussein was toppled in Baghdad. And in the past many weeks, people across the country have been talking about the effect of the Iraq War on Americans, on America, and what that war meant. But it begs the question. I mean, this was a war in Iraq. So you've had a chance to speak with these Iraqis. What do they make of the past 10 years, of what's happened to their country and their lives?
You know, it's a really, really good question, and also an incredibly tough question to answer because people have such disparate opinions. One woman, I think, really summed things up well, and she told me she distinctly remembers the moment when that statue fell, and she thought it was a sort of a moment of hope. You know, this was the end of the Saddam era, and maybe there would be some sort of peaceful transition to a new government. But now she looks at what's happening, civil war, violence between Sunnis and Shias, and she has this incredible sadness, this feeling that this wasn't the way it was supposed to turn out.
Hmm. Well, Asma Khalid is a reporter for WBUR. You can find a link to her piece and hear more voices of the Iraqis she spoke to, Iraqi refugees in and around Greater Boston. That's at our website, radioboston.org. Asma, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.